Self rest, and if you will, stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He said, I want you, I think it's a blessing of God and fitting that just Sunday we talked about walking in the Spirit. And the Bible says here on our first verse in the context of what we're studying tonight, he said how you ought to walk. How should we walk, preacher? To please God. Watch this, verse 1. And that show you would abound more and more. Tomorrow's walk with God should be better than today's walk. At least next year's walk. At least this year's walk should be better than last year's walk. Somebody say amen. Amen. That word abound means to grow, to increase, to overflow. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He said, by what authority I'm speaking to you is not my own, not man, not a denomination, but by the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. If you don't know what the will of God is, verse 3, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, talking about your body, your living vessel, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness. I actually mentioned this verse on Sunday morning, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Don't get mad at the preacher for preaching about holy living. If you're going to despise somebody, just get mad at God. Take it up with God. For who also hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Father, we love you today and pray you'd help me to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. Help us, O Lord, I pray, God, enable us. I pray you cleanse our minds. God, bring us together one mind, one accord. Help us, Lord, to be sent to the Spirit of God. Thank you for all that you've shared with me, put in my heart. And I pray, dear God, I'd just be the vessel. I'd be that like conduit that you'd preach from the portals of glory down through this vessel and to the hearts of all of your children. We pray, God, for those that are outside in the parking lot, for those that are here in the sanctuary, for those, Lord, who will be listening around the world, Lord, as we've seen just earlier this week, how broad the audience really is. Lord, if we could see that balcony that extends by way of the internet through the podcast all around the globe, we'd be amazed at how many people is actually tuning in and listening. Lord, I just thank you. I just want to praise you and thank you that thousands of views and thousands of folks have listened. And Lord, we just pray you'd add to and multiply. Lord, we welcome everybody that comes and everybody that hears. Pray, God, that you'd help us to be a blessing to everybody here and there. And well, thank you, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all God's people say amen. I want you to notice we're on page 99 of your books, also on 1 Thessalonians, and chapter number 4, we're on the principle 9, lesson 9 of 12. And so we're now wrapping up close to the end. I want you to look tonight, if you will, write it outside of your margin. We're going to get there in just a little bit on paper, but I want you to write outside of your margin, right there underneath that tree, the sanctification is the will of God. We're dealing tonight with sanctification, the idea of being set apart. We'll get to just a little bit of it, and we'll talk about the degrees of sanctification at the end. We're going to talk about the purpose of sanctification. But I want you to look at the sanctification is plainly the will of God. Have some people come to me sometimes and say, preacher, I want to know the will of God for my life. You'll never know what it is particularly until what you do generally. God wants every one of his children to be more like Jesus. Amen. And the context of the chapter, if we were to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 by way of introduction, in the context of the chapter, it is a twofold chapter. Number one, it is a church that deals with doctrine. And then it is a chapter, rather, that deals with doctrine in our local church. So he's talking to churches, the church at Thessalonica. He's talking to this local body of believers, and he's giving them this letter and this chapter. And in this one chapter, in the context of the chapter, he's talking to Christians, the believers. And he says, I want you to, number one, nail down a doctrine. Number two, I want you to nail down your duty. And so this chapter opens with Christian holiness, ends with Christian's hope. Opens with the walk of the believer, closes with the flight of the believer. He opens with what every one of us should do as our responsibility, ends with the rapture. Amen. Amen. It's all in chapter. Matter of fact, we'll probably mention, if Lord don't change your heart, and down there at the graveside, 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. If there's ever, he said, comfort one another with these words. There's no comfort like the comfort of having hope. You ever wondered this, friend? You ever wondered sometimes how somebody can go to the doctor and the doctor says, you got 5 months to live, and they die in 3 months? How can that be? Well, first of all, there's not a doctor on earth that's smart enough to know how long you got. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Secondly, you can live weeks, months maybe without food. You can live days without water, but you won't live long at all without hope. People have to have hope. And the hope that we have is a blessed hope. Somebody say amen. And the chapter ends up with the hope, the Christian's hope. Amen. The hope, amen, of our beloved coming back and get us. That's the doctrine in our chapter. But the duty in our chapter is what we're going to deal with tonight. That's in them first few verses. Starts out with the duty, the responsibility, the holiness that should be present, the sanctified life. That sanctification that should be revealed in the born-again believer's life. I want you to notice with me, if we think about sanctification, right outside of that word there in your margin on sanctification, Noah, do me a favor. Get them highlighters right here and pass one out to anybody that might need one. Get that word sanctification right outside of that sanctification, Galatians 6:14. Paul, I think, in writing to the church at Galatia, he saw a detriment. You had people who were pushing the false doctrine that works keep you saved. And so Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, he nips it in the bud. Here's what he says. He gives a verse that is a pattern of sanctification. Here's what he said. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, by whom the world, the cross of Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, I unto the world. I don't know if we're getting it. What is sanctification? Sanctification is a setting apart. Sanctification is God has set me away from the world, set me in his family, and set me apart for service. Is everybody with me? But as much... So what Paul said, I know everybody's still writing, everybody's thinking, I want y'all to think on this. Now write Galatians 6:14, you see if I'm not right. It is a verse that shows sanctification portrayed or patterned. When Miss Rhonda, I don't know about Miss Helen, I'm pretty sure all old timers made their own dresses. They go to the Walmart, go to the Joann's Fabric Shop, go to the local a hardware place, wherever they might have got it, Sears Roebuck, go to Walmart and get a big roll of, they get a big roll and they lay that thing out on the kitchen table. I've seen Mama Cal do it, I don't know how many times. Roll that fabric out, and then they take this pattern out of their pattern drawer, and they pull that drawer out, they just put one of them patterns, then they lay that pattern on top of there and they start cutting that pattern out, and then they'd mark that pattern because it had stitches on it, and they made every dress they made with that pattern look the same. Now, they might have used different fabric, but the design was made with a pattern. Paul said, I'm going to give you a pattern verse. The world's dead to me, I'm dead to the world.
That's why I can glory in the cross. What used to be alive to me is no longer alive to me. I am essentially dead to the world. Paul, that's sanctification. Galatians 6:14. Sanctification is the will of God. So in the context of our chapter, we find out God's given us a duty. And these first few words, he's given us a duty as born again believers. What is that duty? Here's the context of the verses. Here it is. God desires us to walk right. So here's what he does. In chapter number 4 and verse number 1 through about verse number 8, he deals with this thought. Here's the duty of the believer, the responsibility of the believer. Here's what I want born again believers to look like while they're on this earth. I want them to be a pattern that everybody can see them and know that's a Christian. No matter what design or color is their vessel, the vessel is going to follow the pattern, and the pattern is holiness. Somebody say amen. That's why we try to live holy. That's why holiness is not a denomination. It's a way of life. Amen, preacher. Preach on. Sanctification is the will of God. We looked at the chapter as a whole. Let's look at the context of the verses. Walk God desires for us. Look what he said in verse number 1. Notice the pleading of the preacher concerning the doctrinal truth of sanctification. Here's what he says. We beseech you. He's pleading with them. The word there, beseech you, means to beg. It means to earnestly. It means to not just be that, but beg you to follow. Paul's saying, look, I'm not asking you to do something I ain't done. I'm beseeching you. I'm pleading with you. And so the preacher is pleading. A lot of times preaching is pleading. It's preaching doctrine. It's preaching truth. But it's being long-suffering. And the long-suffering is where the pleading comes in. And I'm asking everybody here, hey, I beseech you, brethren, that's children born of the same womb, I exhort you, not by my strength, not for my glory, but by the Lord Jesus, amen, the pleading, the purpose of what the preacher's saying, the purpose of the truth is to please God. He said, look, I'm not telling you by my authority, but by the Lord Jesus. I'm not asking you to do that to please the church. I'm asking you to live holy and live sanctified to please God. The preacher don't preach about dressing right and talking right and living right to build his character and make himself known in the community. He does it, thank God, because he knows what God's going to do in our life. Somebody say amen. So the purpose is it pleases God. Watch what he said in verse 1. He said that ye have, as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. The purpose of what the preacher's preaching. To follow. He's begging. Hey, follow this doctrinal truth of sanctification. Then his purpose is to please God. But here's what we follow. Look at verse number 1. What ye received of us, how ye ought to walk. Verse 1. Verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you. So here's what I'm saying. He's pleading with them. He's telling them the purpose of it. And now he's telling them the plan or the precepts to follow. He says, you're following the precepts that you've received in my preaching. He says, and verse 2, you know what commandments we gave you, not by my estimation, not by independent Baptist estimation, but you know the commandments that were preached to you by the Lord Jesus, verse number 2. He said, I'm giving you precepts. I'm giving you the pattern. I want every single person in the local church that's a believer to realize they individually, as a man, as a woman, as a young person, as a child, once saved, have a duty and a responsibility, since you're saved, to live a life set apart and sanctified for the glory of God. He said, I've not told you to do something without giving you precepts and guidelines. I've not told you to do it without giving you a purpose. I've tried to plead with you in my preaching. And then looking back in verse number 1, notice the performance.
What's this? He said, so you should abound more and more. If I've heard me say it Sunday. I didn't even look ahead, but it's amazing how God works out. Sunday, I said, if you lied 10 times last year, you ought to try to lie 9 times this year. Everybody with me? You ought to be better. You ought to grow. There ought to be some maturing. Amen. Amen. Y'all a tough crowd now, but y'all know that's right. Amen. There's a pleading for the duty. There's a purpose in this duty of living a sanctified life. There's precepts, the guidelines. There's a pattern to follow. He said, the preaching you've received. Why would God send a message to a local church through the servant of God if he didn't want you to live it? That don't make no sense. God puts you in a local church. Why does he look this? Man, we need to look back. See, when folks look at me like that, it takes me 10 more minutes. See, y'all go back. Look back here with me in Ephesians in chapter number 4. I'm going to prove to you what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter number 4 by the Bible. I'm not going to prove to you my own opinion. Here's what the Bible says. Verse number 11. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. When Jesus died for you at Calvary, when he's buried, when he got up the third day, he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He delivered all them captive and delivered captivity captive. And then he gave gifts to men. He said, I'm going to deposit some truths by way of the Holy Ghost into individuals' lives for the purpose of blessing the church. Watch what he says. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What did he do that for? What did he put them in the local church for? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Did y'all see that? That word perfecting means maturing. Look at that. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know why God's put, let evangelists come through here and preach, let teachers be here and teach, let preachers get up and preach. You know why he did that? He did that so the church as a body could be perfected, that we could grow, that we could mature. So through preaching, when we heed the preaching of the Word of God, hear it and heed it, then God knocks off some things that don't look like Jesus, shapes up some things to look like Jesus, and the older and longer we serve God, the more we look like Jesus. Amen. And amen. That's what God's doing in our life. That's the purpose. That's the performance. He's abounding more and more. God's increasing. So we know sanctification is the will of God. We looked at it as a whole. The walk God desires for us. Now look with me. Look with me here. The warning God declares to us. So God desires his will be fulfilled in our walk. Would y'all agree with me? I'm not adding to the scripture. Matter of fact, see, you causing me. It's taking me 10 more minutes. Look what the Bible said. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Back in verse 1, he said, what I'm giving to you, that ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk to please God. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. Our walk is to please God. So, would y'all agree with me now that he has given us in these first verses of 1 Thessalonians 4, a duty and responsibility as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, that we are to know that God desires a holy walk, a sanctified walk. Would y'all say amen? Okay. Now here's the warning God declares, and here's the will that's explained. Look in verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Y'all see that? Bottom of page 99 in your book, the word sanctify is a Bible word. It means set apart. Since creation, God has divided light from darkness. He divided the firmament. He used the firmament to divide the waters above the firmament from the waters that were under the firmament. God used the waters to divide the dry land. There was dry land here, water and dry land. God likes separation. God likes distinction. God likes clarity.
Amen. We in a mixed multitude, okay? But if you have any problem with understanding what a female is, if you'll wait till after church, my wife will meet everybody back here in Miss Rhonda's class, and she'll explain what it means to be a woman. And then if you got any confusion, I know y'all don't, but I just want to make it clear, because there's some other people going to listen to this later on down the road, and I want them to know we know what gender we are. Amen. Somebody say amen. Pretty plain. But if there's any confusion, if you'll wait, Michelle, help the ladies. I'll come back here and we'll talk to the men and we'll nail it down before we leave. Somebody say amen. God likes some distinction. He likes distinction. That's why when you're looking at somebody walking down the street, you ought to be able to tell if that's a woman or a man. Preach on, preacher. Amen. Boy, I feel like staying now. I better go on. Look what the Bible. God's declaring a warning, and he's declaring his will. He's declaring a warning, describing his will. Let me put it that way. Look what the Bible says. When he's talking about sanctification, in the same verse, comma, watch what it says. Even your sanctification, comma, that you should abstain from fornication. Everybody knows what fornication is. That's sex before marriage. People say nowadays, I can't wait. I can't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, your kids don't need birth control. Amen. You're just asking for trouble. Somebody ought to say amen. Condemnation of the immorality. He's condemning the immorality of fornication. You can't be involved in fornication and live sanctification. He said the will of God is sanctification. That's set apart. The church believers should be set apart when it comes to immorality. Would y'all say amen? They should be separate from the world when it comes to immorality. They may have a standard of morals in the world, but we're not to follow their standard. We're to live sanctified, separated, holy unto God, having a walk that pleases God. Would y'all say amen? Amen. All right. Notice this. The condemnation of this immorality. It's contrary to God's will. It's contrary to the word of God. It's contrary to the will of God. God condemns fornication. He condemns an immoral life. It's contrary to the will of God. Verse 3, it's contrary to the word of God, Genesis to Revelation. Amen. It's contrary to the walk God desired for us. Somebody say amen. Note the word sanctification. It's contrary to the wisdom, watch this, God gives us. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess the vessel. Now we should know how to possess the vessel in sanctification and honor. But sometimes we reject preaching. We reject commandments of Christ. So then we act like we don't know. We claim ignorance. But God says, when you hear preaching and you're sitting in a local church and the preaching that's supposed to perfect you, that's supposed to mold you, that's supposed to shape you, knock stuff off, Are y'all this? That God's used to perfect you, mature you, and set you apart. The commandments of God, the preaching of the word of God. When you receive that, you'll know the walk of God, the will of God, and you'll please God. If you reject the will of God, reject the walk of God, you will not please God. It's possible to be saved and not live a sanctified, set apart life. If you're saved, you're saved. Glory to God. But be obedient children, not disobedient children. Is everybody with me? The condemnation of immorality. Here's the cause of immorality. Look at verse number 5, first part of the verse. He said, I want you to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse number 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Some people say concupiscence. The point is, this word means to constantly occupy your mind with a craving of immorality. He said, that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to live a life that's constantly craving the forbidden. It's a desire for the forbidden. It's seen. So the cause of immorality is seen in uncontrolled lust. Verse 5. He said, I want you to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, not in lasciviousness. It's another word for lasciviousness. He said, so your God's will is for us to live sanctified life, not unsanctified life, a blessed life, not a cursed life. Is everybody with me? It's seen in uncontrolled lust. That's what happens when the world lets lust rule their life. It's seen in an unfavorable likeness. Look in the latter part of verse number 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence, not as the Gentiles which know not God. He said, look, you're not supposed to look like, you're not supposed to look like the Gentile. You're not supposed to look like the world. There's supposed to be a difference between you and the world. Amen. He said, don't act like him. You're supposed to live sanctified. That's what he said in verse number 5. Not just in verse 5, the first part, not just in an uncontrolled lust, not just in an unfavorable likeness. Not we see the cause of immorality, but we see the corruption of immorality. Look at verse number 3. For God hath not called us to uncleanliness. He talks about defrauding your brother. He talks about, you better watch out, the Lord's the avenger of everybody. If you try to defraud your brother who's made in the likeness and image of God, God's going to take offense to it, and God's going to whoop you instead of them whoop you. You don't have to worry about your brother whooping you, finding out what you did. God's going to whoop you. Cheat somebody, you don't have to worry about them finding out about it. God's going to take you to woodshed. Amen. He said, for God hath not, watch this, here's the corruption of it. God hath not called us to uncleanliness. Amen. He don't want you to live unclean. He don't want you to live unholy. But watch this. But unto holiness. God's not called us. I mentioned it, so I'm not going to spend time and dealt with it Sunday. He's not called us to uncleanliness. He called us to cleanliness. He didn't call us to live unrighteously. He called us to live righteously. He didn't call us to say, okay, now that I saved you, you can just live unholy. That's not what he called us to. He's called us to holiness. Jesus, here's what he says through the Apostle Peter. Be ye holy as I'm holy. If your goal is not to be holy, I don't even know if you're saved. You ought to have a goal to be holy. I'm not saying you're going to hit the goal every day, but you ought to have a goal to be holy. Nothing's going to change you saved. Hebrews 5:9 doubles down on everything I just said. He's the author of eternal salvation. If you're saved, you're eternally saved. Watch this. Unto all them that obey him. If you're really eternally saved, you'll want to obey what you may not always obey, but you'll want to obey. That will be your goal. Is everybody with me? The corruption, it can lead to a corruptible life, a wicked life. But what's the contempt of it? Stay with me. Look what the Bible says. We're still in the verses. Verse number 8. He therefore that despiseth not man but God. Here's the contempt of it. People, when you preach on living right, that they want to put their thumb on you, and they want to say, he's lost his mind. If you lighten up just for a few months and then bear back down on it, not really just trying to mind God in what you preach, people think, well, I don't know what's got in him. I've heard this. He took the COVID shot. They're controlling him. He ain't been the same since he took the COVID shot. Well, first of all, I don't care who took the COVID shot or not. I told you that's something up to you. I didn't take it. So that was a lie from the beginning. Somebody say amen. But I'm a preacher, and I'm going to try to preach what God lays on my heart. Maybe if your fur's being rubbed the wrong way, it's because you turned around, not me. Preach on, preacher. Preach on, preacher. Amen. I'm fixing to do the turkey walk. Somebody say amen. Amen. God ain't changed. Woo! Somebody say amen.
Boy, if Davey's feeling better, he might lap one for me right now. Hey, man, the contempt of it. Here's what happens. Watch this. The contempt is misdirected. Look what the verse says. He therefore that despiseth not man. Hold up. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. Don't kill the mailman. Hey, if the bill's due, pay it. If your doorbell's ringing, answer it. If the shoe fits Cinderella, put it on. But don't blame me. Amen. Amen. Don't get mad at God's man. Don't throw rocks at God's man. Amen. You know what the problem is? A lot of folks don't like to be, they don't like to be reproved and rebuked. They don't like to be admonished. They don't like their tater patch messed up. They want their taters to stay in the ground till they get rotten. They don't want nobody digging them up. And I like it when God digs mine up. I like it when he puts it in that thing. It shreds them and throws them in a deep fryer in the hot oil and turns them out and makes them crunchy. Amen. I like it when God plows my tater patch. Skin my hide, Lord. Amen. I like it when the man of God gets up with a backbone like a saw log and the foyer looks like an anatomy class. Because, amen, everybody, he's jerked everybody's backbone out from there and hung them up on the gut, splattered everywhere. I like that. Say amen. Amen. Thank God. Hey, it's misdirected contempt. But watch this. Watch this. It's crazy contempt. Here's what I put in my outline. Madness of the contempt. You know how crazy it is to get mad at God after he done went and saved you. Now, it might chafe your hide. Hey, man, it might burn you. Hey, might. I ain't trying to step on your toes. I'm trying to hit your heart. But I am a bad shot sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us, watch what he said here. I'm not making this up. But God, watch this, who also hath given us the Holy Spirit. Do you know how crazy it is? The God that went to Calvary and died for your sin, was buried, got up the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father. When he got back, we know he got back because he said, when I get back, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to dwell in your hearts. You're never going to be homeless. You're never going to be orphans. He's going to walk with you. You ain't going to have to. You know how crazy it is? How mad you got to be mad at God, be mad at the preacher when he's gave you a Holy Ghost who wants to live holy and produce holy fruit because he's holy. It's crazy. You, here's what I'm saying. You don't have to do it yourself. You just got to shut your mouth. Hey, man, quit trying to do it yourself and let the Holy Ghost live it through you. It's madness. People's law. They're off the rocker. People in 2022 have lost their ever-loving mind. I mean, people, I can't understand it. They've lost it. It's the apostasy we read about. I got a book the other day. I don't know. Y'all might not believe this. It's okay. You don't have to believe this. But I believe it. Ain't nobody messed with this bookshelf of mine. And I walked by it and this book was sticking out. A little bit thin book. I said, well, that's weird. I just going past it and going up. I said, well, how's that book sticking? And guess what the title of the book? The Mystery of Iniquity Doth Already Work. And it was written in 1976. It looks like it's from a Wall Street Journal yesterday. I said, my God. Now, y'all don't have to believe that, but I feel like the Lord just said, pull that thing out, let him look at this. I can't believe it. It's like God dispatched. I come down there and pulled it out, said, he's too ignorant. He ain't going to have enough sense to study all these books. Pull one out, let him look at it. And it amazed me how, and the subtitle is, The Apostasy That Will Hit the Local Church. He died. No, I'm not sorry. He wrote it before 1976 because he died in 1976. And it's like it was written today. It's like he knew the pandemic was going to happen. Here's what I'm saying. We can make all the excuses in the world. See, I hear these excuses. Well, I'm dealing with some sorrow. I'm having a hard time. And I just woke up black. I'm not feeling good. And I just can't come to church on Sunday. Funny thing, I saw on Monday and they was all dressed up for Halloween. Somebody preach on. Preach on, preacher. Preach on, preacher. Hey, man, that's preaching right there, Brother Jackson. Amen.
You point it out right, Preacher Jackson. Go ahead and say it. Amen. Look on page 100 of your book. It's the saint. See, sanctification is the will of God. The preacher has pleaded the truth, presented the truth, gave the purpose of the truth, gave the precepts, the guidelines, the plan that God gave us of the truth. He's wanting to see it performed in our life more and more. He showed us, hey, sanctification is about saying no to the flesh, the condemnation of that immorality, the cause of immorality, the corruption of immorality. Hey, it's crazy. Don't be mad. The contention brought about by, don't get mad because the preacher's point you sent out. Are y'all with me? Sanctification is the will of God. Why does God want us to be? Right outside that top little sentence there, on page 100 of your book, John 15:8. Here's what the verse says. You can look it up later. Herein is my Father glorified. How do we glorify the Father? Bearing much fruit. That's how we glorify the Father. How do we glorify him as a couple? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Look what he said on page 100. Husbands, love your wives. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I will give an illustration right there, but I ain't gonna do it. Look, listen, husbands, anytime you think something that's even a slight bit negative about your wife, just quote Christ. I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And if you get to thinking just a minute how you treat the Lord, you'll be thanking God that your wife treats you a whole lot better than you treat the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. You won't be so sanctimonious then. Somebody help me. Watch what he does. I want you to write some things outside of your little page right there on Ephesians 5, page 100. That you might sanctify, watch this, and cleanse it. Talking about the church. With the washing of water by the word. How are we going to get clean? You know how we're going to get clean, Brother Doug? Going to come hear the word of God. Well, I can't remember nothing this preacher, if you asked me, called me on a carpet day, I couldn't remember. Thank you, preach Sunday. That's okay. I like what Brother Rain said. A spaghetti noodle strainer don't hold no water. You might not can hold none, but if you'll keep it under the spigot, it'll stay clean. Somebody say amen. Just come to church. Amen. I need a garden hose. No, I don't need. I need a fire hose. Amen. Put on mine. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, the word is going to wash you. Look at verse 27. That he might present it, the Lord, that he might present it to himself. What kind of church? A glorious church. Not having a spot and a wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy, watch this, and without blemish. You say, preacher, I got a lot of spots. Preacher, I got a lot of wrinkles. Preacher, I got a lot of blemishes. Don't worry. Somewhere between earth and atmosphere. Somewhere between when the horn toots and we scoot. When we meet the Lord in the air. Right on the devil's territory. That's the latter part of the chapter. Okay, we ain't going to get there. But he said, I got you some hope coming up. I got you. Hey, man. When we get there, this vile body is going to put on a glorious body. So what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. Any wrinkles that need ironed out, when I get my glorified body, it's going to be ironed out. Any spots I might have now, when it gets done, hey man, I'm going to see him and I'm going to be like him because I'm going to see him as he is. Amen. I'm going to be without blemish. Now, how is it possible? It's a great message right here. Somebody ought to preach it. Glorious church. Everything God's doing, he's doing it to present back to himself a glorious church. So he's doing everything that he's doing, everything that he's already done to ultimately end up and give back himself a gift. I'm telling you, God never requires something that he don't give us the ability to do. What a God we serve. Right outside there, here's a message to preach. To have a glorious church, you got to have a glorious gospel. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. The devil, the little g-god of this world, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I didn't make that up. It's in the book. 2 Corinthians 4. Glorious gospel was preached, birthed a glorious church. But God let us have glorious power. Write this, Colossians 1, 20 and 22. He's given us glorious power. Write this right here. We're going to enjoy glorious liberty. One day, when we get them glorious bodies, Philippians 3:20, we're going to enjoy glorious liberty, Romans 8:21. We're going to have glorious liberty. So God's going to present back to himself a glorious church. He's birthed it with a glorious gospel. He's empowered it with a glorious power. He's going to complete it with a glorious body. And we're going to have glorious liberty. Somebody hold. I ain't glorious yet, but hold on, honey. If I had a zipper right here, peeled it back, you could see what was on the inside. You say, glory. Amen. Amen. I know that's right. Amen. Many people misunderstand. I like this. I've already mentioned it. Hebrews 5:9, right outside of that paragraph, Hebrews 5:9. If a Christian never understands or submits to God, the demand of sanctification will never be produced in his life. See, when God saves you, it's grace that saves you. But watch this. Grace not only saves me, but teaches me. The same grace that saved me, unmerited, undeserved favor, that's grace. Couldn't have earned it. I didn't deserve it, but I got it anyway. That's grace. It was gave to me, and I got saved. And the same grace that saved me when I was unmerited and undeserved, it's the same grace that says, okay, boy, sit down. I'm your teacher. And I'm going to teach you that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, you should live right now soberly, righteously, and godly. Where at, preacher? In this present world. That's sanctified living. It's grace that saved you, and it's grace that enables you to live a sanctified life. And everybody said amen. Remember, sanctification is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4. Go over to page 101. Sanctification will produce sweet fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6. Here's what he's saying. Come out from among them and be separate. You're separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. That's page 101. Do you see that right there? Wherefore, come out. Out. Say out with me. Out. Say it one more time. Out. Whoa, wait a minute. I was in the family of the world. I was in Adam's family. That just hit me. Adam's family is a bunch of weirdos. Somebody say amen. You ain't never seen Adam's family? It's a bunch of weirdos and freaks. But I ain't in Adam's family no more. I'm in Christ's family. Amen. Amen. Come out from that Adam's family. You're in the last Adam. Amen. You're in that heavenly Adam. Amen. Watch this. He said, if you'll come out from that family, and come into my family, I'm going to be your father, and you shall be my son. That's what I tell people. Well, my daddy wasn't never a good daddy. Well, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You got a daddy who wants to be your daddy. And all you got to do is die to yourself. Come out from among the world and come into God's family. God's called us under the fellowship of his son. He's translated us from darkness into the fellowship of his dear son. God wants us in his family after his likeness. Everybody say amen. Sanctification will produce a sweet fellowship. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we've been called out. Now we're in the same family. Now we have the same fellowship. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We all were headed to hell. Now we're all headed to heaven. The common denominator is the cross. The common denominator is the blood. The common denominator is the Father. That's why when we pray, we don't say white man's father. We don't say black man's father. What do we say? Say it with me. Our Father. Y'all say it with me. Who's that apply to? Everybody's been saved. Everybody's come out. Because if we've come out and we were saved, then we're what? He's our father, we're his sons and daughters. Is that not what the Bible says? Now that we're saved and a part of family, we say our father. Whose father is he? Our. Whose father is he? One more time. Al Chandra, Miss Connie, whose father is he? That's right, he's our father. Y'all with me? Our Father which art in heaven. So here's what he says. You can be saved and not live a surrendered, sanctified life. Now, you're going to be miserable, and you ain't going to have no victory, and you're going to be up and down like the roller coaster at Dollywood. Look what that paragraph says, third paragraph down. A life of worldliness and unconfessed sin will hinder our prayer life more than anything else. Gives you two Bible verses, Psalm 66, 18, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. We most value holiness in our fellowship with God. Hey, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now we have fellowship. What's the book saying? 1 John 1, one with another. How? Because of blood. Somebody help me. Sanctification is the will of God. Sanctification produces sweet fellowship in God. Sanctification will make us useful for God. Look what it says in Bob page 101. Sanctification is a requirement, watch this, for maximum usefulness. You think God used Lot? Well, sure he did. He did. But God didn't use Lot like he could have been used. Here's what I want you to think about. Paul, when thinking about the judgment seat, how many of you know there's two, well, there's more, but how many of you know there's a great white throne judgment for the lost person? Would you say amen? How many of you know there's a judgment seat for believers? Would you say amen? Believers are going to stand at the bema seat, the judgment, to give account of what we've done in the body, good or bad. And here's what we've done with the wrong attitude is going to be burned up. I hope, I preached on this before, a little glitter in the ash pile. I know I'm going to have a bunch of stuff that burn up. I'm going to have a bunch of ashes. But I hope just there's a few sprinkles of gold in there that I can offer back to him. God knows what's done with the right attitude. And he knows what actions are done with the wrong attitude. Amen. But here's what I think the judgment seat's all about for the believer. Our sin has been judged where? Say it with me. Say it with me real loud. Calvary. Say it with me one time. Our sin been judged on Jesus at. Our sin's been placed on Jesus at. He paid our sin debt. He is buried and raised for our justification. He was delivered to Calvary for our sin. Paid the debt. Wrath, justice has to fall. God does not circumvent the law. The law has to be satisfied. We're lawbreakers. And we broke the law. But Jesus said, I'll stand in for you. I'll be your substitute. God poured all that wrath on him. All hell unleashed his fury. He hung between heaven and hell, sandwiched between the wrath of God and the fury of hell for your sin and my sin. And when he died and was buried and he rose the third day, we know he, amen. He said, everything that you're going to have to suffer, I took it all. Somebody help me. But if you reject Christ, what he got in 3 hours of darkness, you're going to get throughout all eternity. Only he could handle all of it compacted in 3 hours for all of mankind. But God says, here's what I want you to do. You can't repay me for what I've done. But you can, because you say, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Realize I've called you out of uncleanliness unto holiness. I don't want you to live unclean like that Adam's family. I want you to live clean. I don't want you to be unholy. I'm holy. I want you to be like me. Every daddy wants his children. Is anybody say amen? He wants us to be holy. Here's what he says. I'm going to use you, but I'm going to use you at your maximum capacity when you have a sanctified life. So here's the judgment seat. Shane Jackson standing at the judgment seat. I'm giving account of what I did in the body, good or bad. What's this all about? Here's what it's about. The progress I've made since I got saved and the potential I could have made if I'd have really been sanctified. You don't give account of your progress, your problems, and your potential. That's why it's important to live a sanctified life. God demonstrates this in the Old Testament. Look at the bottom of your page, 101, Exodus 28, 41. And thou shalt put upon them Aaron thy brother, shall put upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint him. See, the priest could not fulfill his office and serve in the ministry for which he's been called and born to do until he's first sanctified. So if we want to be used of God to the fullest capacity and serve God at our potential and make the progress he wants us to make and not have all the problems that we're going to have to give account of one day, then we're going to have to live a sanctified and set apart life. Would everybody say amen? He shows us in Exodus. He says this. He said, before I can use Aaron and his sons, he said, at page 102, he said, you got to put this on them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. In other words, without being consecrated and sanctified, they could not minister. Did y'all catch that? God requires his people live a clean and holy so they can represent to a lost and dying world what a true believer of Jesus Christ looks like. Did y'all see that? Man, that's an amen right there. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's on your page 102. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what does it say? Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Is everybody with? I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. I want to be used of God, for God and of God to every good work. In other words, unless I am, I can't be used of God unto every good work. In verse 20, I want to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. I preached on them vessels. It takes 40 minutes to explain it, but let me just remind you a little bit of it in a nutshell. The vessel that can no longer hold water, that can no longer wash hands, they always had vessels at the door. And a vessel of honor was set at the door for folks to wash their hand and wash their feet. Poured. But a vessel that could no longer hold water, maybe had been marred, maybe it got cracked, it would sometimes be thrown away or set out back for a flower pot. But if it was taken to the priest and the, amen, or the potter, then to the potter, and the potter was able to find the crack, there was a certain tick that sucked blood off of a red heifer. Man, I feel like preaching. And you take that blood and you mix it with the ground, you grind that some broken pottery that you thought, there ain't no way that'll ever be used, and make it ash and mix it with blood, fill in the crack. God, have mercy. Seal it again, fire it again, and whoop, hold water again. I'm saying it don't matter if you've been crushed. It don't matter if your pot's cracked. God still got a remedy by blood. Hey, somebody help me up in here. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to have a place. I need to flee. If I'm going to do that, verse 22, right here, page 102. I'm going to have to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith. Now watch this. Purging, sanctifying process, second to last paragraph, page 102, allows the believer to be meet or be suitable, prepared unto every good work. So, let's break down the categories. Look on page 103. Sanctification is three different categories. Now, don't get sanctification mixed up with salvation. Just hold on. There's a positional sanctification, a progression of sanctification, and a practical sanctification. Just right outside positional, saved. When I got saved, I took up a position in Christ. Booty ain't mad, y'all. He's got to go to work. Hey, took up a position in Christ. When he got saved, we got placed positionally in the body of Christ. Noah's in the ark. Ain't you glad they didn't put pegs on the outside and say, Noah, you and your wife and your three sons, three wives, y'all hold on if you can. No, he put him in the ark. So when you got saved, you got in Christ. Right? So positionally, we're in Christ. Ephesians puts it like this, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, God because y'all ever thought about how good God is? Do y'all realize God's still where he was, where he's going to be, and where he is at the same time? God's still in eternity tomorrow, eternity yesterday, and today at the same time. Do you realize we're the only one in control? God lives in a four dimension. We live in three dimensions. we can't even comprehend the level on which God lives. He created time so we could understand when to get up and go to sleep. So we could operate and function and know it's Veterans Day coming up. Know Michelle's birthday's coming up. And her kids don't need to forget it. Oh, boy, say amen. We give calendars and but God invented time for man. He lives and operates outside of time. Boy, we serve a mighty God. Have it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? God never had to change his mind based on our reaction. He knew our reaction before he was ever born. Hey, man. Hey, man. What a God we serve. Hey, everybody with me? God already has, when we got saved, we are set in Christ. We're sealed in Christ. We're set in heavenly places. Hey, man, it's as good as done. But there is a progressional sanctification. Here's that day I was talking about when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I don't remember, Brother Frank. I remember this part of what I said. I'm so glad I got saved. I'm so thankful that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And God's that I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's filling me with the Holy Ghost. And sanctification is an unconscious, ongoing process. When saints yield to their control to God, the Holy Ghost manifests the salvation that God's put in us. He manifests it on the outside. God said, work out your own salvation. How can I do that? I can only work out what he's worked in. He works it in. Holy Ghost works it out. Amen. It does say the fruit of the Spirit. It don't say the fruit of Shane Jackson. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit living in me produces love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are y'all with me? It's God in me that allow you to see God in me. It's not me. Ain't nothing about me godly. But God in me, it makes me want to be godly. Amen. Progressing. To yield to him. To obey him. The longer we're saved, the more we should be like him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is when it started. Y'all know that verse. Look at, but there's practical sanctification. This is kind of hard. That progressive, it's the Holy Ghost working in our life. A lot of times unconsciously, working and maturing, making us look more like Jesus. Using what's been preached, using what's been put in our hearts, what commandments, what verses we've learned. And God just slowly molds us into looking more like Jesus. It's his will that we become formed to the image of his son, Romans 8. But our problem is yielding control ourselves. We want to say things like this. God is my co-pilot. No, he ain't. That's the dumbest tag ever seen. God's your pilot. Here's where you live. Here's where I want to live. Put me in the trunk. Let me roll around with a spare tire and a tire tool. I'm just glad to be on the ride. Hey, man, I ain't driving this boat. I don't want to drive this boat. Hey, man, I ain't got enough sense to steer this boat. Hey, man. So we've got to make a choice day by day, moment by moment. Here's what I'm saying, church. This is where we have a struggle. This is where I have a struggle. Maybe y'all don't have a struggle, but this is where I have my struggle. See, God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son, 104, Romans 8:29. That's that practical working out. That's that avoiding sin and worldliness. That's following after holiness on a daily basis. That's dying to self and living unto God. That's not being conformed to the world, but being transformed, amen, by the working of the Holy Spirit and the yielding of, as I mentioned earlier, bottom of 104, beseech you therefore, brother, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world. Be a transformed. How do I do that, preacher? Here's a message I'm going to preach later on, Lord, but I'm going to go ahead and give you. Goes right here good. You know over in Ephesians 6, when it talks about, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. That word there, strong, is the word endued or dunamis. It's the word where we get our word endued. Like for instance, Luke 24. Tarry in Jerusalem to be endued with power. To receive power from on high. Get that endued power. That God put in you power.
So be strong.
There's somebody you need to know about that word. That word is a plural word. Here's what that means. I don't just want my preacher strong. I don't want just the pastor strong, the preacher strong, the deacon strong. I want everybody strong. Be strong, plural, everybody, all believers, be strong in the Lord. Practically, daily dying to self and put on, be strong in the Lord. But it's not just plural. It's not just a plural word, it's a passive word, a passive tense. Here's what it means. God done doing it for me. Be strong. Watch this. Preposition in, definite article, the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Here's what I'm saying. We say things like this right here. God won't put more on you than you can handle. Well, he will. I'm just telling you, he will. But here's how he does it. He puts more on you than you can handle. So you see, he'll handle it for you. You individually can't handle it, but you're not alone now. You're in the Lord. Somebody help me. When you work out at the gym and you're on that bench press and you're pushing up and you got a spotter and he's up here, he's pulling up. Here's what the spotter's for. When your arms get to trembling and you can't do it, that spotter says, don't give up on me now. And he goes to pulling. Here's the idea. While you're pushing, God will put some more weight on. And while you're pushing, he's from the top pulling, but he's going to give you credit for pushing it all. He's your spotter. I don't know if y'all getting what I'm saying. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I'm trying to tell you that God said he wants us to be strong and everybody, passive, you can't do it, but God does it for you. Are y'all with me? In other words, when you see the believer, they ain't by themselves. They got somebody with them. Woo! Hey, man. Holy Ghost lives on the inside. Helps them live a practical, progressive, sanctified life. Are y'all with me? It also means present tense. Be strong. He don't say have strength. He said be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. It's present tense. In other words, you don't just need to be strong on Sunday. Anybody can be strong on Sunday. Anybody can be strong on Wednesday. But it's every day. It's present tense. Strong Monday, strong Tuesday, strong. God wants us strong every time we read that verse. Somebody say amen. It's a day by day, every day. Y'all with me? But it's not just plural. It's not just present. It's not just passive voice. Amen. Hallelujah. What's that word I'm looking for? Here's what it means. It's a command. He's not saying, if you feel like it, be strong. He said, no, it's imperative. There it is. It's an imperative mood. Thank you, Lord. In other words, you got to do it. Watch this right here. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his, that word power, dunamis power. Can't do nothing without having his power. Would y'all say amen? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Put on the whole armor of God. You know what that word put on means? Y'all seen a picture of that put on. I don't know how to explain it, so here's how I'm going to explain it. You ever been down at Walmart? You wouldn't see it in the church, you know. But you ever been down at Walmart and you see them women wearing them leggings on the outside instead of underneath something? You know, and you see every turn and curve, and some of them so tight you can see the warm blood pumping through their veins and what direction it's going. Y'all know I'm right. Here's what that word means. It means that when they get in them things, they got to squeeze in them, y'all say. And that's what it means, squeeze in. So he said, put on the whole armor of God. Here's what he's saying. He said, squeeze into the armor. Here's what's happening. He said, the Holy Ghost has squeezed into you, and you've been put in God, so everything about you is protected of God. Just you remember, stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's what he's saying, that word there. Here's what it means. Face to face. So here's what I'm saying. here to live a practical, sanctified life, you're going to have to presently pour out everybody. It's not just permission. It's imperative that you put on the whole press into. He's been pressed into you. You realize everything you do is controlled by him and seen by him. And if you, here's what I mean. If you're going to face the devil face to face, you've got to seek God face to face first before you face your enemy face to face. So God helps you by empowering you, putting his armor on you, because you're going to run into the devil face to face. But it's a whole lot better if you first run into God before you run into the devil. That's how you live a practical, sanctified life. And all God's people say it. Father, we love you today and pray, God, you'd help us live a practical, sanctified life. Lord, I plead the blood. I ask God that you'd help us.